Brothers and sisters in Christ, what joy to be with you together in the house of the Lord, praising his name, singing of the redemption that you and I have experienced in Christ Jesus. Now, I need to turn this on, and I am Mark Bennett, by the way, introduced by Pastor David, and I thank you, David, for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the privilege to open the Word of God and to share with you what the Lord has placed on my heart. The title of the message today is Being at Home with Christ. And what I want to do today is we're going to spend some time opening the Word of God and dissecting or breaking apart the different parts of Paul's prayer to the Ephesian church that we find in Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. And we're going to do a couple of things in this message. The first thing I want to do is the historic reading of the prayer from a pastor, Paul, to his congregation. He spent a lot of time with the people in Ephesus. He started that church and he grew it up. And the time of the writing was he was in prison in Rome. And so he's writing back to this church and encouraging them. It's a beautiful letter. The first half is God's plan and how God brought about the opportunity for you and me and the Ephesian Christians to be a part of this wonderful family of God, to be grafted into that. And in the middle of the book, there's a therefore. And therefore is always there for something, right? And so the second half of the book is about how we live our lives day to day, in and out, in Christ. Being at home with Christ, being comfortable with Christ, right? Experiencing what it means to be the redeemed. And so first flow is we're going to read the prayer as it is to Paul, to the Ephesian church. Then we're going to unpack it a little bit. And what I'm going to do with the unpacking is we're going to do it kind of like a sandwich. Maybe this will help you remember it. So with a sandwich, you have the bread at the top and you have the bread at the bottom. And that's how this prayer begins. The prayer begins with God, right? We always focus on God. We always focus on praise and exalting because it's all about him. And Paul ends his prayer, the bottom part of the bread, with praise. Glory be to God, right? And so in the middle, we're going to have things like the vegetable and the meat and the cheese and the sauce. And these are the four things today that I'm going to share with you. The four realities that we can depend on being at home in Christ means having mighty inner strength. So these are actually the points that I'm telling you what I'm going to say later. Being at home with Christ means Christ at home in your heart. Being at home with Christ means experiencing Christ's love. And being at home with Christ means he is able to accomplish, and as Paul says, infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. And then we're going to end our time with what I would encourage you to do is memorize this prayer. And you can pray this prayer daily, occasionally, I would recommend daily, as your prayer to the Father. Because I want you to hear that prayer is the primary activity of the body of Christ. Prayer is the most important thing that we can and should do as a believer, but also corporately as the body of Christ. Why? Because prayer is the most powerful weapon we have. When you and I pray, we surrender and submit to the will of Almighty God. All we're doing is saying, your will be done, your kingdom be come in my life and in our church. And when we agree with the Almighty Creator of the universe, what he already wants for your life, for my life, he is mightily at work within us. So prayer, before, during, and after every event is our goal. So let's stop and say a prayer. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, you are with us. You are among us. And Lord, it's all about you. We are your redeemed. We are your children, adopted into your family. We've been grafted into this beautiful community throughout time of people who confess you as Lord. Come, be at power among us. Work through us. Work in us. And as we open your word, Lord, please be powerful among us. May you receive all the glory forever and ever. Amen. So I want to begin with Ephesians 3:14, and just stop, because this is still a part of the introduction. When I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, Paul says, I fall to my knees and pray. So think about the wisdom and the scope of God's plan, because that's what the first part of the letter is. And what Paul is saying is, he's saying, when I stop, when I meditate, when I think about what God has done, and we're in the Easter season, right? We've just come from Christmas, and we're here celebrating the Easter season. And so this is the pinnacle of all of creation. So that's what Paul is doing. He's stepping back and he's saying, when I look at the broad stroke of what God has done from creation, right? Only an infinite and wise and almighty and loving Father would create all that we know, and he would create us, and he would set about the circumstances of making one tree in the garden, and they were not to eat of it, and of course they did. And so all of this creation entered into a sin state. Yet God had a plan throughout time to create a people who would be his representatives. Okay, and that's the whole story of the Old Testament. And we're coming into this time when Paul says, you are a part of this, right? You have been grafted into this family. And when I think about the wisdom and scope of God's love, his plan, I fall to my knees and I pray. And that's the basis of what we're going to be doing today. Now, if you want to know the wisdom and scope of God's plan, according to Paul, it's easy to look back up. Today we're in verses 14 through 21, but if you look back up at verse 10, Paul gives the answer. He said, and by the way, I am going to be quoting and reading from the New Living Translation today, because it's one of my favorite versions, in that it's good for oral presentation. It's clear and simple, and so that's what I'm going to be quoting from today. But in verse 10 of chapter 3, 10 and 11, Paul says, God's purpose was to show his wisdom in all its rich variety to all the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. They will see this when Jew and Gentile are joined together in his church. This was his plan from all eternity. And now it has been carried out through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, if you want to understand it further, go back a couple of chapters to Ephesians 1, 9 through 11, where Paul says, God's secret plan has now been revealed to us. It is a plan centered on Christ. So I want you to see this big, broad scope of history of time. We have creation. Everything pointing from creation is pointing to the place where the cross is the central theme. Right? The cross of Jesus Christ is stuck in the middle of all time. So everything in the Old Testament is pointing toward the cross. Everything after is looking back. Okay? The cross of Jesus Christ, as Paul is telling, it's the center. It's what God designed long ago according to his good pleasure. And this is his plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because of Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us from the beginning, and all things happened just as he decided long ago. So, creation to Christ to the culmination of all things. So, the four realities. When I think about the wisdom and scope of God's plan, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. So our first point is, I was pointing up. So our first point is being at home with Christ means, being at home with Christ means having mighty inner strength. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you feel like you have mighty inner strength? Right? We're all broken people. We're all failed. We're all flawed. We're all sinners saved by grace. And so I don't know that we always feel mighty inner strength. But that's Paul's prayer for us. And he says later in this book, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers, right? We're at war with evil. But Christ has given us everything that we need, okay? And he tells us later in the book to put on the spiritual armor, right? Each of the parts, the word of God, which is the sword by which we fight. That's the most powerful weapon we have, is praying the word of God. Okay, so I encourage you to memorize it, plant that seed in your heart so that when you pray, it just, the word of God just naturally flows out of you. I love the song, "So When I Fight, I'll Fight on My Knees with My Hands Lifted High. Praise God, the battle belongs to you." Right? Jesus Christ won the victory on the cross when he conquered sin and death and brought us into his kingdom. And that's enough to begin to give us inner strength. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Okay? And the latter part of that verse is, his prayer is that you would have mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. So you can always reverse these things, right? Through the Holy Spirit, as we trust in the Holy Spirit, as we listen to the Holy Spirit, we gain mighty inner strength. He gives us the strength that you and I need to cope from day to day. Now, Brother David said that we were missionaries in Japan. We were there for 28 years. We retired a couple of years ago, and now we're seeking the next steps in the Lord's work in our life. I wanted to tell you about a little man. From 2015 to 2019, I had the privilege, the honor, of leading a large ministry of about 40 churches, hundreds of volunteers, working with homeless people in Tokyo. And I know that might be a surprise to you. I'm sure in the city of Madrid there are a lot of homeless. Well, there are a lot of homeless in Tokyo. And it was a beautiful, I could spend an hour talking to you about this beautiful ministry and all the things that I saw God do. But this, of course, we would give food, usually leftover bread from Costco and other things like rice and meals. We'd give them in one hand, but we would always give the word of God in the other. So this small man came to our fellowship Saturday morning worship, and we gave him a tract. It was basically a portion of the Gospel of John. It might have been the entire Gospel of John. I don't remember. And he read it and came back the next week and said, "Can I have more?" And we said, "Yes." And we gave him a New Testament. And he came back the next week and he said, "Can I have more?" He'd read the entire New Testament in 1 week. And we gave him a Bible. And if you've ever seen a Japanese Bible, it's that thick. I mean, the thing is big and it's complicated. The kanji are so complex, but this man was brilliant. And it took him about 6 months, but he read the entire Bible in 6 months. And that word of God transformed his life. And I can tell you today, every Saturday morning, on the sidewalk in Tokyo, he's standing there teaching, proclaiming, and telling other homeless people about the grace that you can find in Jesus Christ. Now, that's mighty inner strength, to be transformed out of that into something new. And we continue on with the second part. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. Okay? As you trust in him, Christ will be more and more at home in your heart. So our second thought today is being at home with Christ means Christ at home in your heart. Now you may think it should be the other way around, right? I'm more at home with Christ. And really, it is both ways because it is a relationship. So what do you think it means to be at home with Christ? Well, Paul gives us a few examples here. I think of two things. First of all is invite him in, right? The word that Jesus uses is remain and abide, and I'll read that in a moment. But it's well, Jesus said in John 15, 4 through 5, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful apart from me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them, right? It's a relationship, will produce much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And the second thing that I can think about is make room. Okay, so this is where, like the answer of, do you feel like you have mighty inner strength? We talk about inviting Jesus into our heart, come and be Lord of my life. And when we use the word heart, we're talking the center of our being, our soul, our spirit, okay? The very depths of who we are. And I'm not a psychologist and I don't understand it fully, but you know, we have head knowledge and we have heart knowledge. Okay, and sometimes our head knowledge is rather theological and rather assenting intellectually. But this is talking about the depths of your heart, making room in your heart for Christ. And in my experience, what that has called for is doing a little bit of deep digging or cleaning out the room, right? Because there have been things in my heart that hindered the Holy Spirit's work, that kept Jesus from being completely Lord in my life. And so this is the process. Of course, the first time we invite Jesus into our hearts, it's salvation. You know, when we confess our sins and we receive him as our Lord and Savior. But we continue to do that, okay? And even for us who've been Christians for a long time, we still need to stop and ask, Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I invite you into the broken places in my heart. Please bring healing. I make room for you. I'm asking you to be more and more at home in my heart as I trust in you. And this is Paul's prayer for the church. And this is Brother David's, Pastor David's prayer for you. He has a heart for you to be more and more at home in Christ as Christ is more and more at home in your heart. So I hope you hear this pastor's prayer. And then the two things that Paul says, may your roots grow down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And I think of two beautiful biblical images for that. First is Psalm 1, right? Blessed is the person who doesn't listen to the scoffers, right? But whose joy and delight is the law of the Lord. Meditating, right? Thinking, intentionally focusing on, memorizing, right? And speaking day and night. They are like trees planted by a riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. And then the beautiful illustration from Jesus, from John 7:37. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from your heart. Okay, so we want our roots, our life, our attention, our focus, our being to be sunk down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, because that's where we receive the nourishment. So you want mighty inner strength, right? I do. We receive that nourishment from Jesus, and out of us, from us, flows living water, right? And when we're bursting with living water, people around us can't help but be blessed by it. Another aspect of this is the fruit of the Spirit, right? These are the things that the Spirit produces in a life that is in touch right? Where your roots are grown down deep. And what are those fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control. These are things you want in your life. These are things I want in my life. I have no ability in and of myself to produce these things. No matter how hard I try, and believe me, I've tried, I can't be a patient person, okay? I really can't generate love and joy on my own. I can't be a person of peace on my own. I need the Spirit of God working in me. So my focus, my attention, my desire is to be so grounded in Christ that His Spirit is working through me. So I exhibit love and joy and peace. I'm a patient and kind person. That's my desire, and I know that's your desire. And then the second thing that Paul says is, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep the love of God really is. Do you know how much God loves you? God loves you so much that you are worth the death of Jesus Christ. That's how much God loves you. And I think this is probably the most important place that we can be. I want to tell you about another young man that I met in 2015. His name was Timothy. And he was a homeless man. I could tell he was broken. I could tell. He gave me his testimony, told me his story, and oh my gosh, the rejection, the grief, the difficulty in his life. Yet, I saw in this young man the possibility of being a leader. I saw his call, and others affirmed that. And so in the ministry, we started growing him to be a leader. And it took about 3 years. He would meet me, and we would drive out to Costco, which was way out of Tokyo. It's about an hour. And we'd drive back, and then we would drive the bread down on Saturday morning. And so we spent hours every week in the van together. I was driving, and he was my co-passenger. And we would pray. I was doing discipleship training on the spot, you know, as we were doing it. And after about 3 years, there was something just holding him back. And finally, he confessed to me. He said, "Mark, there's a box, a little black box in my heart that I just can't let go of." And it breaks my heart. Even to this day, I pray for Timothy every day that he will take that black box and he will invite Jesus into his heart and he will say, "Lord, take this. I can't carry it anymore. I need you to remove this sin, this pain, this trauma, this rebellion in my heart and make me whole." So I invite you to join me in praying for Timothy. But Paul continues in the next verse 19, "May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great you will never fully understand it." So our next point is being at home with Christ means experiencing Christ's love. Well, how do you get to know Christ's love? It's what we've been talking about this whole time. We get to know Jesus and the Father and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, all weaving this together. You were created to experience Christ. And a few of the wonderful, simple ways that we can do that is in nature. Look at the beauty that He has created. I challenge you to find beauty every day in something. Sharon and I stand across the highway, and the jasmine are blooming right now. And you smell that, and you just go, "Oh, thank you, Father, for your work in our lives." Get to know Jesus in your heart. Invite Him in, and let Him be Lord. An intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. You are created to experience Christ in your family and in the family of God. As we work together, studying, being patient and kind and gentle with one another, right? Then the promise, you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Our next one is being at home with Christ means He is able to accomplish infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Now, I don't know about you, but I can ask and imagine a lot. And I ask and imagine a lot. But He is able to do infinitely more than that. as we trust in him, as we give him our life and our heart. And then, I think the best example of this is this little boy who, he was pretty happy with his lunch. He had gone out to listen to the message, and he knew he had enough for him, but the disciples found him, they brought him to Jesus, and he took his little 5 loaves and his 2 fish, and he gave it to Jesus, probably doubting that that could be anything effective among the multitude, right? 5,000 people that day at least sitting. And Jesus took that little simple gift and he broke it and he made it into something more. That's an illustration, an example of what you and I do. We take our broken, wounded hearts, we invite him in, and we hold up like Timothy can't do. You and I have the ability to hold up our lives, our little, simple, maybe complicated and complex lives that we have, but we give that as an offering to God. And when he takes our lives, he breaks it, and he makes something more and something beautiful. And this is what Paul is saying. So our 4 realities, when we ended up, he says, may he be given glory in the church and in Jesus Christ forever and ever through endless ages. That's the bottom part of the sandwich. Begin with God, his infinite power, end with God, he gets all the glory. That's the whole point. So being at home with Christ means having mighty inner strength. It means Christ at home in your heart, and you are experiencing the love of Christ because he is able to accomplish even more than we can ask or imagine. So I'm going to go back to the screen where I had the words up there, and I want to pray this for you. So let's pray. Father, when we think about the wisdom and scope of your plan, we fall to our knees and we pray to you, creator of everything in heaven and earth. We pray that from your glorious unlimited resources, you will give us mighty inner strength. We pray that you, Christ, will be more and more at home in our hearts as we trust in you. May our roots grow down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and may we have the power to understand how wide, how long, and how high and how deep your love really is. May we experience Christ today. Then we will be filled with the fullness of life and glory that comes from you. Now you get all the glory, Lord. We love you. We worship you. We surrender and submit to you. Receive our lives as an offering to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.